There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. Well, it sounds like music in my ear. The sweet taste, man, on earth, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, a sinner. It tells me of one whose loving heart can feel my deep, deepest woes, who in sorrow bears a part that none can. You're trying to say, Rev. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh. And I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Can I get a witness? Because come on, help me say, oh, how I love. Come on. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. You sound good, church. Come on. Say, oh, Lord. Because, oh, you first love me. Come on, let's put our hands on it. Come on, let's raise it up. Oh! you sounded so good. Let's raise it again. Come on. Everybody say, oh. Everybody say, oh. Sound great, church. Children have come because we love you, and we love that you sent your son for us to die death that we did not die, and pay a ransom that we could not pay. So Father, today we, your children, need a word from you. We've come from all directions of life, ready to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We've heard from CNN, and we've heard from Fox News, and we've heard from this and that. God, we want to hear from you. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. 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 To God our Father, Jesus our Savior, to the Holy Spirit, who's the Paraclete, who comes alongside to help and aid us in this thing we call life. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. Let me rush to thank God for you. And also let me rush to thank God for the greatest pastor on this side of heaven. Can we give God praise for the Reverend Dr. D.Z. Cofield? Amen, amen, amen. Love you, man. And I'm jealous this morning because he's preaching for my pop in ministry. And I would have loved to see those two brothers in the same building. Amen. And so we're so excited about what God is doing, even in his life right now. I'm not being rude after I leave, after I preach. I must take a flight at 2 p.m. And so I'm going to do what the Lord has given us, and we're going to ease on down the road. Amen. Amen. I would love to love on everybody. There's a story of a pastor who was often known for working late nights at the church in which he served. The name of the church was called the Almighty God Tabernacle. Each day, before leaving the premises of the church, he would routinely call his wife before traveling home. On one particular occasion, around about 10 p.m. at night, he picked up the phone at the church, called his wife, and the phone began to ring several times with no answer from his wife. The concerned pastor hung up the phone and commenced to finish his work, grabbed his belongings, and tried calling his wife again, only to be met with the reality of her not answering the phone a second time. The pastor hung up the phone, traveled home, and upon entering his home, he saw his wife sitting by the phone and immediately asked her, "Honey, why didn't you answer when I called?" She looked at him and laughed and then replied, "You never call from the church phone. And when I heard the phone ring and saw the caller ID saying Almighty God was calling, I was afraid to answer." The pastor laughed and shook his head and replied, "From now on, whenever Almighty God calls, make sure you answer the call." An old child of God, I just stopped by here today to tell somebody to stop screening God's calls. Almighty God is calling. And for somebody here today, he's calling you to activate your yes. Almighty God is calling for you to step out in faith, to surrender your will and trust him with your life. And you ought not to let fear and doubt and apprehension keep you from God doing the miraculous in your life. Matter of fact, the caller ID says it all. Almighty God is calling. The creator of the universe, the one who knows your name, your struggles, and your purpose is reaching out to you to serve in a new capacity, to share your gifts, to take a leap of faith, and to lay down your burdens you've been carrying and trust him to lead you into freedom. Whatever his call is for your life, today is the day that you activate your yes. So don't wait. Don't screen his call. Don't let it go unanswered, because Almighty God is calling. But the question is, will you pick up the call? Will you answer his call? And will you say yes to God? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk from the subject, how to activate your yes to God. How to activate your yes to God. First thing I need to tell you, if you're going to activate your yes to God, you must realize that God is calling you. You must realize that God is calling you. Look at verse 4 through 7. Watch what the scripture says. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lay down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Here in this passage of scripture, just by way of context, the background so we can get to the breakdown, this Old Testament passage, we find a crisis in Israel. We're introduced to an Old Testament crisis. During the time of our text, Israel is living in what one might call and categorize a desperate, demoralizing, dark time. This is the reality because wickedness has set and settled within Israel. Israel has become a nation that has begun to move to the beat of their own drum. There's no moral absolute, thus causing the nation to become vile and shameful and wicked. Israel has become blighted by sin and unspiritual governance. Chaos has now become the norm of the day. And as this current phenomenon continues, it's being continued and prevailed by a wavering people, but also an uncommitted priesthood. The preachers were in on it too. Causing God's standard of holiness and righteousness to be weakened, to the end that there were very few people who were faithful and committed believers, obeying God, loving God, and following after God. Israel is in a crisis. And what's so interesting about the reality is, even though the people are in disarray, the priesthood is no better. The priesthood during this time consisted of old man Eli and his two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. The Bible makes us aware that these two sons of Eli had no regard for God or his tabernacle, the place that was supposed to represent the presence of God and serve as the place of atonement and sacrifice by the priest, had now been perverted by the sons of Eli. Worship had been perverted. Church wasn't church no more. The people were being exploited. The women who served at the entrance of the tabernacle were being seduced. And the sacrifice of God was always being robbed or stolen. To make matters worse, Eli didn't have a backbone. Yeah, he rebuked his sons, but he didn't remove his sons. And because of this, the word of God was rare. God didn't speak as much because this nation wasn't listening to God. So the question is, what happens when God sees a crisis? Well, we see it here. He calls prophetically somebody to give him a yes. And it is here where we see the young man by the name of Samuel, whose mother is Hannah, who has dedicated him to the Lord, who will give us our discourse. My brothers and sisters, as this story unfolds, as previously read, the Bible lets us know that one night while Samuel was in the tabernacle fast asleep, that his slumber is interrupted by the voice of God. The Bible says that Samuel hears the voice of God, but he does not recognize God's voice. We know this to be true because when Samuel hears his name being called, the Bible says that he runs to Eli and responds, here I am, for you have called me. Eli, being awakened by Samuel, responds to him saying, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed and lay down. The Bible says that this happens two more times, and each time Samuel runs to the bedside of Eli saying, here I am, for you have called me. And each time Eli responds saying, Samuel, go back to bed. I didn't call you. Lay down. And what's so interesting is God is so persistent that it happens a third time. That Samuel came to the bedside of Eli, and Samuel and Eli realized what was happening and what was really going on. The Bible says that Eli becomes so instrumental in showing Samuel how to recognize the voice of God and when God is persistently calling your name. The Bible says that Eli tells Samuel that the next time God calls you, you say to him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What's so important about this, church, is that when we look at verse number 7, it lets us know that Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God and the call of God because he had not yet experienced God and had an encounter with God. And all my brothers and sisters, Samuel shows us that you can be in the house of God, doing the work of God, hearing the voice of God, but not responding to God because you have not yet recognized the voice of God. And somebody here needs to know that God has been faithful in trying to get your attention, call you into service, push and propel you into purpose, but his attempts have been unsuccessful, all because you don't recognize that God is calling you. And you wonder why you can't sleep at night. And you wonder why you're constantly at a place of unrest. And you wonder why you're always uneasy and never content in life, in ministry, in your relationships, and in the various endeavors of your life. Maybe God is trying to get your attention and call you to higher purpose and to higher service. You see, church, the problem is never with God's, requisition. It's always with our recognition. Somebody here needs to recognize it. God is after you. God is pursuing you. God is reaching out to you. God is summoning you. God is sending for you. God has a need for you. Matter of fact, somebody here needs to get like the old church and say, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, what shall I do? Sounds like Jesus calling my name. Oh, my Lord, what shall I do? And for those of you who are already looking at it, no, I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to you. No, he ain't talking to me. I done already. No. I'm not talking. Look at your neighbor and say, he not talking to you. He talking to me. Yeah. I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to you. And God is calling you. He wants to call you from being a sitting Christian, a silent Christian, a Sunday morning Christian, to being a serving Christian. The question is, will you answer God's call? Realizing that God is calling you to make a difference. God is calling you to do something different in your family. God is calling you to make disciples. God is calling you to take the job. God is calling you to share your testimony. God is calling you to be a witness. God is calling you to elevate above it. God is calling you to a greater purpose. And today, it all starts with you. Look at yourself. Just pat yourself and say, it's on me this year. It's on me this year. The second thing I need to tell you is that you must realize that God is waiting on a response from you. But watch what the scripture says, church. Verse number 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you've called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Now, church, the Bible says that Eli, in one sentence, teaches Samuel how to recognize and respond to God at the same time. The Bible says Eli tells the young boy, if he calls you again, respond by saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The Bible says that Samuel goes back to bed, and once he gets settled in that resting place, God begins to speak like he's never heard him before. And you know, part of the problem with us as people is we can't never get in a rested place. My grandmama called them busybodies. Yeah. You hear that everywhere, every which way, and God can't ever get you by yourself to get you to a rest. And if you say, I don't hear from God, because you're hearing from everybody else. Your phone ring and you got to pick up every phone call. Let it go. There's a reason for voicemail. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. This is Samuel's first encounter with God. Even though he's in the temple, Samuel is learning how to respond when God speaks, realizing that listening to God is a learned experience. Because the more you walk with God, the more you can discern the voice of God. That's why you can call out when somebody says something and said it was God. You can look at them and say, that wasn't God. Why? Because I walk with him and I know his voice. Since Eli understood this, he gives this young man the blueprint for how all of his routine responses and future encounters will be. He said, Samuel, just tell him, speak, Lord. And some of us need to shift our disposition today from just hearing God. When we come to Sunday morning, we hear God, but are you listening? Listening to God with a spiritual ear that yearns to be attentive, sensible, perceptive, observant, heedful, and eager to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And the reason many of us lack, truthfully, in direction, we're limited in our guidance, lethargic in our revelation, we're lost in our lives, in our relationships, in our leadership. It's because somewhere along the line, we've forgotten that the call to serve is a call to listen. Yes, God called you to labor, but God mostly called you to listen. Because every call that God gives us requires us to listen to him. Matter of fact, if you ever want God to stop leading, all you've got to do is stop listening. You don't believe me? Put it in practice. GPS, Siri, if you ever want Siri to stop leading you, all you got to do is take too many wrong turns and Siri will cut off. I learned real quick, Siri is just like God. If you ain't gonna listen to me, I'm not gonna lead you. Here's the relevant question. How much better would our service be if we would only listen to God? How much better would our churches be if we would listen to God? Our marriages, our children, our schools, our discipleship, our preaching, our community, our evangelism be if we would just listen to God. One of my favorite movies, The Color Purple, produced in 1985. And if you ain't seen it, we're taking your card today. We're taking it. We're taking it. Look at somebody and say, I'm taking your card. Act right. I'm going to take your card. All right. You want to eat chicken, fried? I'm taking your card. You know? Okay. Taking your card today. All right. Color Purple, 1985. There's a highlight scene where there's a singing sister, and her name is Shug Avery. Yeah, you surely. Yeah, Shug Avery. Shug Avery, she's the estranged daughter of a preacher man. And she's seen running into the church, going after the choir as they sang the song, Speak, Lord, Speak to Me. They said, Speak, Lord, Speak to Me. Then they said, You cried all night long. And you're wondering what's going wrong. They concluded, maybe God is trying to tell you something. And that's where somebody is today. You need to respond, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What you listening for? I'm listening for your guidance. I'm listening for your direction. I'm listening for your divine plan. I'm listening for your will for my and for the single folk. I'm listening for who to date. I'm listening. And some of y'all women, you need to listen. you need to listen to that car. Listen to God about when to turn them wheels on your car. You ran all the tread off the wheels. Speak, Lord. You're listening. I mean, car just bald. You about to run off the road. Don't even know it. I'm listening to you. And we need to really get to the point where we say, Lord, use me to show somebody the way. To enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. I'm ready to drop my no and pick up my yes. Last thing I need to tell you, that if you're going to activate your yes, you must realize that God is ready to use you. God is ready to use you. God is ready to use you. Watch what verse 11 says, that then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I will declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because of his sons were blaspheming God and did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offerings forever. Samuel lay until the morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Let me break it down. Now, the Bible says that Samuel recognizes and responds to the voice of God, the call of God. Samuel is now ready to receive revelation from God because he's given God a yes. From Israel to his life to the future plans of what God wants to do in the preachers and priesthood, he says, Samuel, I'm going to lay it all on you because you've given me a yes. The Bible says that it happened just like this. The Lord came forth, he stood, he spoke. The Lord, he came forth, he stood, and he spoke. The Lord, he came forth, he stood, and he spoke. Why are you saying that three times, Rev? You got to realize that it started with a voice, and then God moved it to a vision. And see, you may be hearing his voice today, but upon your yes to God, God's going to move the voice to a vision. And because you don't have the plan right now because you're still hearing the voice. You don't know about how you're going to handle the business because you're still hearing the voice. But when you respond to the voice that you're hearing and you tell God yes, he'll turn it from a voice to a vision. The Lord shifted him. And oh, my brothers and sisters, when God calls us to service, he will not only provide his voice, he'll give us the vision. The Bible says Samuel yields his attention to God. God begins to stand and speak. He speaks to Samuel concerning what he's getting ready to do with the overthrowing of Israel and Eli's household. This is significant not because God gave him information. This is significant because God gave him an invitation. And can I tell you today, church, all of us have a standing invitation when it comes to the kingdom of God. All you've got to do is join him in the work that he's already doing. You don't have to wait on an invitation. All you've got to do is accept his invitation as he's ready to do a work in your life. Matter of fact, it's at this very moment where God invites him to a closer relationship with him, to constant communication with him. This prophetic discourse served as an invitation to a higher calling. It was a higher service. Samuel was already in the church. He was already in the temple, but he was not serving on this level and at this magnitude. And I believe that there's somebody here today. God is calling you to weightier responsibility. God is calling you to greater commitment, a more significant sacrifice that will be pleasing unto him. Realizing that God wants more of you, God wants more from you, and God wants to do more through you. Could it be, church, that God is saying to each of us that whatever you did last season is just not enough for next season? It was the launching pad. It was the starting point. You didn't realize that that was greater behind your yes. Realizing that God looks for us to progress in the call. That's why you still cussing folk out like you do. Because you're not progressing in the call. That's why you can't forgive nobody unless 2 years has passed, because you are not progressing in the call. That's why your prayer life is as shallow as it is, because you're not progressing in the call. That's why your Bible got more dust than your ceiling fan, because you're not progressing in the call. God didn't save you so you can say, I love Jesus, he loves me. If God
have work for you to do. He should have took you when he saved you. If you don't believe God has anything else other than going to church, singing songs, then God, his theory should have been, once I save him, I'll take him. But God, that's not my God. That may be somebody else's God. Once he saves us, he sends us. I want you to be my prophet. I want you to be my mouthpiece. I want you to be my trustworthy. Can I trust you? Let me ask you a question. I'm done, I promise you. What is God calling you to become in this season? What is God calling you to do in this season? What is God calling you to assist with? And I can't lead it, but I can help, right? What is God calling you to further in this season? I can't take it all off, but I can do some part of it. What is God calling you to accomplish in this season? He's calling you. And we ought not respond with rebuttal or refusal, but readiness. Last thing, if you're going to activate your yes to God, you must realize that your yes to God will require you to rely completely on God. Watch what verse number 19 says, real nice passage. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. The Bible says that Samuel receives from God information and an invitation, and because of this, he delivers the news to Eli. And so when Eli came to him, he said, man, what God talked to you about last night? Samuel like, you really want to know? Yeah, Sam, he said, man, tell me what God said last night. Samuel said, God said, you fired without pay. And Eli has walked with God so long, and he knows that he's wrong. Eli looks and says, he's God. He can do what he wants. He can do when he wants, how he wants. He does what seems right in his eyes. He resigned on the spot. And Samuel began to rise into prophetic leadership. How do we know Samuel gave his yes to God? We know it because the scripture declares that he progressed, he grew, he walked with God, and he did not allow his words to fall to the ground. He was not a false prophet. He labored for the Lord, but he had to lean on the Lord. Samuel teaches us you can't do nothing for God without God. Samuel's success and call was solidified that he had a commitment to say, God, I trust you to grant me success. And I feel led to tell somebody today, you may be like Samuel. You feel like you're too young. You feel like you're inexperienced. I'm older, but I'm inexperienced in this because I've never walked with God like this before. I've never swum in waters like this before. I've never stepped on uncharted territory like this before. Let me tell you something, that if God has called you, God will keep you, God will equip you, and you will walk in rooms and not know what you're doing, but God will let folks say, man, that boy good, that girl good, because God knows how to give you just what you need when you need it the most. There's somebody here under the sound of my voice who's been called to do something great, and you don't know how you're going to make it happen. Your degree didn't cover it. Your experience don't cover it. Listen, your family don't know nothing about it, but if God said you're on his schedule, if God says you're on his calendar, if God said he's going to call you, you stand up with your chest out and you say, I'm supposed to be here because God said so.
You ain't gonna always know what to say. You're not gonna always know what to do, but trust that God got your back.
So don't you let folk tear down your yes because you keep telling yourself no. Most of the harm we do in our lives is what we do on ourselves. He kept giving God a yes, and God kept exceeding his expectations. And I got to close this thing now, church, but Samuel was able to say, like the old saints, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. I hear my grandmama church singing, and he walks with me. I hear him saying now, and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And I hear them singing now that the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Then they moved over to the second verse. They said, he speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is yet ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. I wish I had somebody over 75 or 65 who could say, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy with Jesus that we share as we tarry there, nobody will ever know. And somebody here today needs to say, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I'll trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And here's my answer. Don't know about y'all today, but here's my answer. My answer will be yes. Yes, yes, Lord, yes. Then they said, Lord, I give you all the glory for all that you've done for me. You fill my life until I overflow. All I have is yours to use. All I have is yours to choose. You're the Lord of all. How can I say no? So today we say yes, Lord. Look at somebody and say yes, Lord. Come on, look up and say yes, Lord. Look up and say yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord. Yes in the morning, yes in the noonday, yes late at night, yes on my job, yes in my marriage, yes in my children, yes on my home. Somebody ought to cover your children right now and say, I cover you with a yes, God. I cover my marriage with a yes, God. I cover my church with a yes, God. Somebody here needs to say, yes, Lord. If you need my hands, here go my hands. Yes, Lord. If you need my feet, here my feet. Yes, Lord. If you need my heart, here's my heart. Yes, Lord. If you need my testimony, here's my testimony. Yes, Lord. If you need my mind, here's my mind. Yes, Lord. If you need my degrees, I'll use my degrees. Yes, Lord. Shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes. Yes. Look at somebody. Give them a yes. Give them a yes. Give them a yes. Use me whenever you want to. Use me wherever you want to. Use me however you want to. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I got, I'm yours.
where I'm going, you're going to take me. I'm yours, Lord. Yes, Lord. Try me right now and see. I give them a yes, church. I'm done now. Got to get on the road. But I need you to look at your neighbor one last time and say, it's time to activate. Look at a neighbor. Look at a neighbor and say, it's time to activate. You've been stale too long. Been in that position too long. Time to activate. Matter of fact, tell them, get in formation. Tell them, get in formation. Get in formation. God is throwing the ball, trying to get in the end zone. Get in formation. Get in formation. Somebody, look at somebody and say, get in formation. Yeah, yeah. Get in formation. And I know somebody up there saying, man, it don't take all of that. But let me tell you, if you knew, like I know, what the Lord has done for me, if you knew how many doors he's opened, how many ways he's made, I owe God a yes. I owe God a yes. I owe God a yes. And I gave him my word. I gave him my word. I gave him a promise that I would serve him, serve him. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Good evening, church. Good morning, church. I'm gone now. But I came to tell somebody, say yeah. Say yeah. Look at somebody and say, say yeah. Say yeah. Give them a yes, God. Give them a yes, God. Give them a yes. Give them a yes, God. I promise him that I would serve him. Serve him. Serve him. Serve him. Excuse me, but my soul is happy. Yeah, you never left me. You never forsaken me. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.